I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Judy Robinette. In her career, Judy has led both public and private companies as CEO and served in management positions at Fortune 500 companies. She's on the advisory boards of Illuminate VC, Perig VC, and Springboard Enterprises. Judy previously served as a managing director of Golden Seeds Angel Network and as a member of the faculty of Goldman Sachs' 10,000 Small Business Program. Judy's book, How to Be a Power Connector, The 5 plus 50 plus 150 Rule, was named the number one business book of 2014 by Inc. magazine. She has been profiled in Fast Company, Forbes, CBS, Huffington Post, and Bloomberg Businessweek. Judy, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
Thanks. I'm really delighted to be here, David.
And I want to take a shout out to Matthew Pollard, who connected us. He was a guest earlier on Smashing the Plateau. And we were just talking before the show. You're located in Utah, where it's the middle of the winter, and it's you were telling me how it's you have gorgeous snow on the ground. We're here in New York, where it's been a very mild winter. We finally had the temperature go significantly below freezing a few days ago for the first time. And it's in last winter we had tons of snow, but only like in the last half of the winter. The first half of the winter actually was just like this one. It was pretty mild. So it's kind of interesting how things play out. And your background is really fascinating, and you've done so many different things in leadership roles in business. You have I'm sure lots of different perspectives that can illuminate the conversation we're about to have.
Yeah, and I'm happy to do that. You know, most of the reason is because I didn't know what the heck I was doing, or I got bricks to the head.
And one of the things we were talking about just before we started recording is what's going on in the world today, particularly as people are living longer and working longer. People who are in business leadership roles, or even those who might have been employees for their careers but now have gone into retirement, but they're still active and expect to be somehow doing something that will earn some money for some period of time. Starting a business is something that is becoming more common for retirees, which isn't something that I had thought about before starting this recording. But but the fact that people sort of in mid-career, middle age, if they've been successful in business leadership, but they're not where they want to be towards the end of the story, and they're looking at like what does the next bit of time look like, and how do I take the success I've achieved and really catapult things forward in a big way. It's a challenge that a lot of people face. And I know your specialty, one of the things that you're really good at, and your book speaks to this, is relationships and network and why that's so important. I wonder if we could start off by talking about why your network is so important to you and your success as a business leader, no matter what stage you are in your career.
Okay. So, I grew up in Franklin, Idaho, population 300. If any of you saw the movie Napoleon Dynamite, I went to that high school.
Wow.
I didn't know anybody of power, influence, or wealth. And, I went into the corporate world, and I'd been taught, like other people that have been raised lower to middle class, work hard, keep your head down, don't ask for help, people will notice. And I discovered people didn't notice, and I started looking around thinking, what on earth is going on? People are getting better opportunities than I am, and I could see this underlying network, both inside the corporation and interwoven outside the corporation. And so that was my first thought of, I needed to learn strategic networking. And it's absolutely critical. So, research shows your network equals your net worth. And, unfortunately, I meet people every day. They either don't have the connections, they don't leverage the connections. And so they can't really get to their dreams. So, if you've been in the corporate world for 25 years and suddenly you decide to start a business, you don't have the kind of people you need to go to. So my network has been, you know, absolutely critical to me. And frankly, I'm humbled. I'm, you know, friends with Mark Burnett, who endorsed my book, and several billionaires. And I wanted to write that book so I could show people there's no lack of resources. And, you know, you don't need gazillions of people. You only need 25 to 50 to get to any goal. So the basic equation is really quality relationships plus strategy to a specific goal.
By the way, I can't tell you how many guests I've had on this podcast who have talked about the how important relationships are to them, and that they've done business with the same people they've known for 20 years.
Absolutely. So, you know, even in, you know, people call me every week to get funding, and I work with high potential startups, and I tell them, you know, people are not going to write a check the size that would buy a home unless they know you, like you, and trust you. And, you know, with all the stuff that's happened on Wall Street and with the banks, I think we're more cautious now. And we want to have people that are going to have our back and have our future.
So that, you know, with that as the backdrop, Judy, how would you define a great network?
I call it robust, deep, and wide. So it's important to me, and I learned this accidentally, David. I worked for a Fortune 300 company in a town of Twin Falls, Idaho. And my neighbor was the Senate Majority Leader, and through that, I ended up being put on the board of directors of the local hospital. I was writing a column on business and leadership for the newspaper. And all of these things, I quickly found out that I had access to knowing what was going on, to the regulatory community. I had access to power, influence, and money. And so that is really what got me excited about creating a network of just 25 to 50 people that's diverse, meaning it's, you know, across different industries, have people in media, have people with connections with money, have people in the government. And when you do that, then you're put in a great position that you can get to any resource that you need. And I say robust in that you want people who will have your back and who will return your phone calls or do a favor, who will look out for you. So, for instance, you know, it was announced a couple of weeks that Mark Burnett became the CEO of MGM. I quickly sent him an email congratulating him, and in a half an hour heard back. So that's robust. People will get back to you and will get back to you quickly. And you know, diverse is across different industries. And that makes all the difference in the world. And then deep is people with gravitas or influence that can make things happen for you.
So if you haven't really thought about developing your network in the way that you've just described, where do you start?
You know, the first thing I have people do is think about circles. So the first circle around you is usually 5 to 15 of your close friends and family. And then I have people jot down who they think the next 25 to 50 people are, and to literally, you know, make an assessment of what industries they are, where they're at, and then look what gaps that you need to fill. And what you usually find, David, is, you know, most people have been in the same career. Everybody around them is just like them. They go to the same conferences together. And those are called strong links. You know, they know about all the same jobs, same opportunities. And so you really hit the wall about the time you want to change jobs, move into a different industry, get some exposure in the media, or raise money. So first is take a really good look and write down the people that you currently have. You know, and honestly, what I find is most people are not utilizing the network they have. 95% of what you need is already in your network, but people have not shared their story. And then, you know, I have people ask my two golden questions. What other ideas do you have for me? And who else do you know that I should talk to? And this allows you really to crowdsource. So everyone knows about 600 plus people. And you can literally ask, you know, who else do you know I should talk to? And you can see people kind of tip their head and go, oh, you need to talk to Bill. And it's, you know, it's astounding who people already have in their network. I often share a story of Mike Muni, who's the co-founder of Axe Software, sold it for $48 million, now has one of the top apps called Viper. And my agent called me and said, I know Mike, you guys should get together. Maybe with your book, you can do something. And I met Mike and I said, geez, you're a top-rated app? I've never heard of you. How would have I found you? What are you doing for marketing? And he looked rather glum and sad. And he said, Judy, if I could just get an article in Success Magazine. And I said, when you go home, call your friend Wendy, who you've known for 6 years, who I've known for 6 months. One of her friends is Darren Hardy, the founder and publisher of Success Magazine. And he almost fell off his chair. And this happens to me every week. So people are not, they don't even know who's in their network. And they've not asked, given my goal, my situation, where I'm going, what other ideas and who else do you know I should talk to? So really dig into the network that you've already got.
Judy, what scares people about networking? Because what you're saying is, asking that question, who else do you know, is a really powerful question. I think a lot of people don't ask that. But what do you think scares people about this whole concept?
Yeah, so I speak globally, and it was stunning to me to find out how many people are shy or think they're shy. Half of us, research shows, but if a psychologist, made it official, it would only be 12%. And they were like me, they'd been bullied in school, didn't think they had anything to offer. I used to think, why would people want to talk to me? And so that's a big one. And the other one is this kind of silly notion that you have to set aside, 2 hours a day and go network. And honestly, 99% of the events out there are a waste of time. If you're not in a room that people are smarter than you and have resources that you need to get to your goals, you're in the wrong room. And most people I meet are in the wrong room. People looking for money or trying to madly get in the door of VCs where 90% of startups are funded by angels. They're in the wrong room.
So how do you figure out where the right room is?
Well, you need to do usually just a little bit of research, but one really powerful thing I can tell you is you join a powerful organization. So when I first moved to Salt Lake, I didn't know anybody. A friend of mine knew I had some connections to people of wealth and said, would you be willing to sit on the governor's race and help with finance? And I said, sure. That's how I met my first three billionaires out of Park City. So any kind of a group, you can even volunteer at almost any not-for-profit and find people of influence, learn about, whatever ecosystem it is that you're looking at. And there's a fellow in Salt Lake that was hired from back east to build a book of business with wealth management clients in Salt Lake. He's black and he's gay. And within 2 years, he had probably a bigger book of business than anybody else. And Salt Lake's a pretty conservative place. And I said to him, how did you do this? And you came to town, you don't have any network at all here. And he said, I joined the symphony. That's where my clients hang out. And so I ask people to think about where the people you need hang out are. And also, many people don't realize that their problem somebody's looking for. So, for example, in the United States, there's 300 angel groups, and they're equally dispersed. You don't have to move to Silicon Valley to find money. And these people are looking for good deals. I got a phone call from a guy that had $1 billion to invest. So they're looking for deals. So there's always a match.
Yeah, I think that's actually really powerful. A lot of people don't think about the fact that there is a match pretty much for anything.
Yeah,
And it's
there
just a
is.
matter, and it's just a matter of hooking up with the person who's looking for what you have.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly.
that's really great.
And then the other thing, that I teach people is, to just add value immediately. And you can do that with sharing an article, making a high quality introduction, sending an email. How's your dog? I mean, a fellow that I just met told me he actually, I had to talk to him later because he had to take his dog to the vet. I wrote and said, how's your dog? Well, thank you for asking. If you're a caring person, there's all kinds of things that you can do that don't take a lot of time and effort that allows you to build that know me, like me, trust me. And the other thing I forgot to mention, besides the shyness factor, the second one is, we're afraid of strangers. We've been taught strangers are dangerous, and that works well as a child. it doesn't work well as an adult. I mean, it's startling to me who you meet randomly. And so that allows you to create luck. So synchronicity happens. And if you think about it, the best things that have ever happened in your life, one of them certainly can be attributed to hard work, but the second one is almost luck. And people will often say that that one ends up being more powerful. So you have to think about, where should I place myself? And then just, you know, put forth a little effort to talk to people and realize they've all got problems. Everybody on the planet, as long as they're alive, they've got problems. They need help. And often you've got a connection, or you can, you know, give them an idea. And you start doing that, and then you're adding, you know, value.
Yeah, I would also add that I think strangers are often very interesting.
Yes, yes. I mean, when I, you know, I was bullied, I didn't dare talk to anybody, honestly. And, you know, at 40, people started saying they'd pay me to let them follow me around so they could learn how to network. And I thought they were nuts, because I saw myself as shy. And when I told people that, they laughed at me, which really kind of hurt my feelings. And then I had to rethink my assumptions and my beliefs. And I made it a point to talk to strangers. Now, I read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, because, you know, I didn't dare ask anybody for help. And I started just smiling and saying hello. And geez, I found out people would like me. And then that kind of, you know, emboldened me to move further. And I'm now at the point I interrupt people. You know, I'm in Starbucks or a Barnes & Noble, if I hear somebody talking and, you know, it's something I could really add value, you know, I'll do it. And for example, I heard this husband and wife debating about which agent they should go with, how to get their book published. And I'd just been through that rodeo. And so I turned around and said, hey, I'm published by McGraw-Hill. Could I, you know, just share a couple of thoughts with you? And they thanked me. They, you know, sent me Christmas cards. And, you know, we all need help.
That's really powerful. That's really powerful. So Judy, we were talking earlier about how you get, how you assess your network.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, and you mentioned that people often think that they have to spend a lot of hours per day networking. What kind of structure do you recommend once you've done an assessment? What kind of structure do you recommend to try to meet your relationship building goals?
You know, I have so many people that make referrals to me now that I can hardly keep up. I get introduced to VCs, angels, you know, people all over the world. But one of the things I do is, you know, I give speeches globally. And so later this month, I'm keynoting the PR Newswire awards event in New York. You know, I'll meet, you know, some wonderful people there. You know, I tell people when they're just starting, join a different group. Just join a different group, and that doesn't take much time. Really rethink the networking events that you're going to. You just change a few behaviors. Start, you know, smiling, saying hello to strangers. And then part of it is targeting. After you've looked at the network you have and you realize you've got a big hole here, then you be strategic about, you know, finding someone that's in that sector that you need, that's a connector. And working on it that way. And it's totally useless to, you know, try to get 10,000 people on LinkedIn or Facebook as people in your network. I had a guy call me and he said, you know, I've got 40,000 people in a Google Doc and I'm sending them Christmas cards. And I said, you know, out of all of those people, how many have ever helped you? And it was less than 15. And so quality matters most. And, you know, you really have to rethink your beliefs around networking, because it's true, your network equals your net worth. And the higher you get with people of influence and money, it's true what you said earlier, David, that people work with those same people over and over. And it's because they've been vetted. They know them, like them, and trust them.
What advice do you have for somebody who may be in a tough spot, a narrow place, right? Somebody who's been in business for a good bit of time, has been successful, and now things are not going so well. What can you do with your relationships to help you get out of the slump and try to rebuild and maybe take things past where they were before in terms of success?
Yeah, so when I was 40, I was vice president of a hospital, and while I loved working with the doctors and patients, the management team I did not like. And I would get nauseous thinking about going to work Sunday night, every Monday morning. And I asked myself, can I do this forever? And I said no. So right there, I started, as I call, planning and plotting my escape. Now, I had given a speech at MIT. Someone had handed me a Wall Street Journal, and it said there's five ways to become financially independent in America: be a doctor, a lawyer, inherit it, or marry it. And I thought, well, those are out. And number five was start a business. And I went, oh, how hard can it be? And I went and got a $1.4 million SBA loan, and stupid me, started a franchise restaurant. And almost went bankrupt, but didn't. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got was the attorney I went to, just terrified, shaking in my boots. And he said, "You're not even close." And I said, "But I'm broke." And he said, "Judy, they can break you, but they can't eat you." And that really taught me a profound lesson of kicking fear to the curb. And as long as we're alive, we have to deal with fear. It'll always be there, and if you don't confront it, it gets worse. And so that really, helped me. But one of the things I would tell people to do is to really listen to their heart on what it is they've always wanted to do in their life, and then find somebody who has done it. Start doing some talking, a little research, and listen to your heart, and then take action. I mean, if you and it only has to be little bits of action, just start working on the next step. What would be the next step? Because typically we don't have enough information. I mean, we feel really frustrated, like I don't know which path to go on, and the real issue is you don't have enough information to make a choice.
Yeah, and actually, if the action is really big, it's hard to do. Small bits of achievable actions are much easier to do.
Yeah, and I was really fearful, and I used to tell people I went to my cave with dark chocolate. And I thought something was wrong with me, or other people were smarter than me, and then as you get older, you find out that while you were worried about what other people thought about you, they didn't give a crap. They were worried
That's
about
right.
themselves. And then you find out, you meet people who, are multimillionaires, and you're like, dude, you're not the smartest guy in the room. What happened? And a lot of times is these people just persevered through fear. They aren't the smartest people in the room. And so really the trick is, learn, pivot, and persist. And that's really the philosophy. I've gotten to the point now that I really work hard at embracing fear, because until you get out of your comfort zone, you're not going to grow. And yeah, it's going to hurt. It's almost every time that you come up with a vision, Goliath shows up. I mean, that's just the way it is. But that prepares you, that puts steel up your spine for your next venture. And you have to get to the point of being comfortable that regardless of what comes your way, you can figure it out. And when I was younger, people would offer me a job, and I'd write down all the pros and all the cons, and I'd take the job, and sure enough, 2 weeks later, all the pros disappear, and I've got more cons than I can deal with. And you find out that, challenges are good. They're not stumbling blocks. They literally can be stepping stones. And so, I've like failed all my way along, but I've kept going to the next. Tony Robbins actually says, next level, next devil.
Yeah, it's so true. So, Judy, what tips can you offer about it's easy to say, yes, you need to confront your fear. We all have fears. We all have challenges. People who seem to be much more successful than us also have fears. They also have challenges. They also have self-doubts. What tips can you offer our listeners about how to confront your fears and how to try to address it and keep moving forward? Because you're right. If you don't move past your comfort zone, you're not going to grow. So how do you do it?
Yeah, so the first book I found that really helped me with this, David, when I was probably 30, was Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. And I still recommend that, because she pointed out it doesn't matter which path you take, you can make good things happen. And she also addresses all the major fears: fear of dying, fear of losing your job, fear of losing your spouse, or the death of a child. And that book was really good for me, offered a lot of insights to me. And then another thing that I have people do is a victory log. And you just take a piece of paper, number from 1 to 50, and you write down things you're proud of. And they can be little things like, you know, I got a D in geometry, but still managed to graduate from high school. And big things, you know, the first time I became a CEO and made $350,000. Well, I've got the first one of those I did when I made $30,000 a year. And had never gone anywhere. And now I look at it and, you know, I've been to India 30 or 40 times, to Europe. I would have never guessed. And so if you kind of track things and then you read it and you remind yourself of the good stuff, then that is really beneficial. Another thing, I'm friends with Jack Canfield, and we talked about how powerful affirmations are for you. And I'll send you a list that I use, and you can put it in the show notes.
That's great. Thank you so much. So Judy, who do you know personally who is doing remarkable work?
You know, someone that people don't know of yet, but will, is Matthew Pollard, who moved from Australia to Austin, Texas. He's known as the rapid sales guy. He is probably the smartest guy I've met that really understands sales. He puts out, you know, amazing content that's free. I actually found him from reading an article on how to do a soft sales close, because I'm not good at sales. Reached out to him on LinkedIn and have become, you know, fast friends with him. He has a book that will be coming out. I don't know the title of it yet, but you can look up Matthew Pollard online. He's prolific, great content. I like what he's doing.
Yeah, and he was a guest on Smashing the Plateau. I had the pleasure of meeting him in person in New York recently.
Oh, good.
Yeah, great guy. Great guy. Judy, what are you working on now?
You know, so I've got a second book coming out called Crack the Funding Code. So, you know, I'm a guru in funding. And I also started because so many people have contacted me about how to get funding. And it really hurts my heart that there's $369 trillion of global private wealth. There's no lack of money. And so I put together an 8-week webinar program that I teach called Crack the Funding Code. And thankfully, my very first person through it at week six, you know, has a term sheet. And I think actually within 2 months, we'll actually sell his company. So I'm excited about that. I just got asked to do my second TED Talk in London in early April. So many things I'm excited
wow.
about for the year.
Wow. Congratulations. It all
Thank
sounds
you.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And by the way, the other person I would tell you that I'm really fascinated with her work is Laura Rittenhouse, who wrote the book Investing Between the Lines. And it's endorsed by Warren Buffett, who said she's one of the only angels around. She can read an annual report and tell you whether these guys are crooks, what the stock of the company is doing. Fascinating work on candor and trust from a corporate level, but also applications to you personally. So I'd recommend her.
Awesome. Awesome. Judy, how can our listeners learn more about you?
You know, I'm on LinkedIn. My website's judyrobinette.com. No E on the end of Robinette. I tweet frequently about, you know, relationships, connections, and also VC angel funding. And, you know, happy to talk to anyone.
That's great. Well, I can't tell you how much I'm grateful for you coming on the show today and giving our listeners some great tips about relationship building, networking, and overcoming the roadblocks that we all face in business and in life. So thank you.
Thank you.
My guest today has been business leader and author Judy Robinette. Thank you again, Judy, for joining us.
Thank you.